The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Pick Six Podcast. NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. If you are listening to the podcast, it's Masters Week. So that's exciting. Because it's Monday. What would Monday be, Breach? Monday, April 4th? Is that right? I'm just spitballing here.
Not April Fool's Day.
Not April Fool's Day. If you're watching the podcast on YouTube, it is April Fool's Day. Breach, you sound so quiet, so timid, like a little mouse.
It is Brinson's last podcast. He is retiring. April Fool's? No, he's not. Got Brinson. Did you see his face? He fell for it.
Oh man, I was getting kind of excited there. It's not my last podcast. Of course, it is a mailbag Monday. If you're listening to the show, if you're watching, we have a live chat going on because we do 1 p.m. Eastern shows every single day of the week for the rest of time throughout eternity. So come and join us in the live chat. If you have questions you want answered, you can do so in the live chat. We've got a couple fired up already. Dirk Vandenberg points out it's 7 p.m. in Europe and not the middle of the night. Oh, yeah, I did say that. I thought it was like 5 a.m. in Europe. It is 7 p.m. That's great. So, look, if you're listening overseas, you knock out your dinner, you hang out. We go live at apparently 6 p.m. in the U.K. and 7 p.m. in general Europe. I'm not great on European times, but you get the point. Anyway.
Brinson, I'm the time zone specialist on this podcast.
Now you sound better. You know what we need to do, Breach? We need to answer some
mailbag
questions. So let's dive right in. We got a bunch of them. Love the show mailbag question. Hey guys, this is from Kat Hasselback.
Hey Kat,
I wonder if that's via Apple Podcast. And if you want us to answer a question for a future mailbag, go to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review, and leave any question you want, within reason, obviously, and we will answer it for a future mailbag.
Wait, did you get yelled at by our legal team? You used to say any question. Now you're throwing in the qualifier within reason?
Well, some people will throw out what do you think about the geopolitical spectrum that occur, or we're not going to answer
maybe they want to know from you, Brinson.
I'm not answering NAFTA questions, Breach. That's and by the way, Ryan Wilson will be joining us shortly. He is Wilson scheduled a radio interview at 1 p.m. How many times do I have to say we're live every day at 1 p.m. for Wilson to realize that you can't schedule radio interviews then? Anywho, back to Kat Hasselback. Kat Hasselback says, hey guys, first, how dare you disrespect Robbie Gould, not putting him as the NFC kicker in the All-Star game. He's literally has a playoff field goal streak going 20 in a row. But anyway, is the Niners picking Lance a bigger mistake than people think? They could easily have gotten Baker, Watson, or Matt Ryan this year, and they went to the NFC championship game with Garoppolo. It's a win now team, and some of the vets are mad about the pick. I see this as a potential fireable offense if it doesn't work in 2 years for Lynch. Also, the fact that Mac Jones actually turned out good to be good. Anyway, this is a good question because it looks like the Niners are going to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think there's a decent chance that if Jimmy G gets healthy, Breach, that he beats out Trey Lance for the start, assuming he stays on the roster, that he could beat out Jimmy G, he could be out Trey Lance for the starting job.
Yeah, this is a very interesting question, especially in light of the Rams' new F those pick strategy of, hey, you know what? I'm going to trade draft picks to acquire established veterans versus the 49ers. I'm going to trade draft picks to move up in the draft to get someone who has never played a single snap in the NFL. And that really, I mean, you look at what's happened just in the past couple of years, whether it's the Rams trading for Matthew Stafford, the Broncos trading for Russell Wilson, even the Colts trading for Matt Ryan. They all got those quarterbacks for less compensation than the 49ers getting Trey Lance. Think about what the 49ers gave up to get Trey Lance. So you're giving all that up for a complete unknown. You have no idea how good a quarterback's going to be. And so it just seems like a lot to give up for someone that you don't know if they're going to lead you to multiple Super Bowls. You don't know if they're going to flame out and be a total draft bust. And like you said, I think if Jimmy Garoppolo is a starter for a second straight year, that doesn't look that reflects kind of poorly on the 49ers unless they win the Super Bowl. Then, you know, it's like, hey, Jimmy's just playing so well that we couldn't put Trey in there. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Trey Lance going forward. If and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I mean, so Trey Lance looked okay last year. Like, he had filled in for Jimmy G, and, you know, I mean, he was what he was, you know, right? He'd been at North Dakota State. He hadn't played for, you know, he had played like one game in 2 years or two games in 2 years. The Trey Lance stands get mad if you mess that up. But I mean, the way it worked out, you know, with the COVID stuff, with the pandemic, and then with just how everything played out, Trey Lance just doesn't have a ton of football under his belt over the last few years. So it's not unreasonable to think that he might not have a complete and total grasp of Kyle Shanahan's playbook, even if he spent a year on the bench learning it, or most of a year on the bench learning it. And I do think that if you're the Niners, do you look back at the 2021 NFL draft and say, man, we didn't need to give up any picks. We could have sat where we were, and we could have just drafted Mac Jones, right? Am I wrong about that?
No, you were not wrong. I mean, that's just...
And don't you think...
Well, even know where Trey Lance would have been selected. Because look, you had, obviously, Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2. Do the Dolphins sit pat at 3? Do they end up trading that pick? But we know they weren't going to draft the quarterback. The Falcons thought about it, maybe, if Trey Lance is on the board, but they probably still take Kyle Pitts. And so you're getting to a point where then you have that 7, 8, 9, where we spent a lot of time talking about maybe the Lions or Panthers or Broncos take a quarterback. None of them did. Again, maybe they do if Trey Lance is on the board, but it's completely possible that the 11th pick, which was where the Bears traded up to get Justin Fields, it's possible that Trey Lance still would have been there at 12 when the 49ers picked, is where I was going with that. That's best case scenario. Worst case is that Mac Jones falls into your lap and you didn't they gave up 2 first round picks. I mean, you can say 3, but really they just switched spots with the Dolphins. But they gave up 2 extra first round picks to get up to get Trey Lance. And that just seems crazy when you consider what that can get you in a trade for an established veteran. I mean,
let's walk through this. So the Dolphins eventually traded back up with the Eagles to 6. So let's just sort of reset it and put the Dolphins at 3 and the Eagles at 6. And the Niners at 10. Jacksonville goes Trevor Lawrence. Jets go Zach Wilson. Nothing changes there. Who do the Dolphins take at 3? Because they just took Tua, so I don't think they're taking a quarterback. Don't they take Kyle Pitts at 3?
Yeah, they do not take a quarterback. That's all we need to know for the purposes of
it. Let's say, or do they take Jalen Waddle or Kyle Pitts, I think is the question. Or actually, they take Ja'Marr Chase, sorry. Ooh, what a dark world this is for you, Breach.
Don't get me started. You know, I don't know if they take Ja'Marr Chase. I think maybe they like Jalen Waddle more. They made that pick pretty quickly. I don't know that it's a lock they take Ja'Marr Chase, but they take a receiver. And it doesn't matter because they don't take a quarterback. That's all that matters.
Okay. They took Jalen Waddle at 6. So for your purposes, we'll be nice and give them Jalen Waddle.
We'll just make it Jalen Waddle so we don't have to rewrite the first 10 picks.
All right. If they take Jalen Waddle, do the Falcons take Trey Lance? I don't think the Falcons take Trey Lance.
No, I think they probably take Kyle Pitts.
So we get, all right, let's say Jalen Waddle, Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase. The Bengals maybe take Jalen Waddle anyway.
If you're taking a tight end at 4, you're pretty locked into it. You know, like.
Right, and they didn't know what quarterback the 49ers were taking. So either they were, yeah. So like they weren't going to take, right, exactly.
And maybe they had an either-or situation where, oh, if Trey's available, we'll take him. But if he's drafted, we'll take Kyle Pitts. But it feels
all right, like... All right. So my, I guess the point is, like, is it reasonable to suggest that the... All right, so we need to plug one more player in here, I guess.
They overplayed their hand. They just... They thought there was a great...
Actually, Debo, who do the Eagles take at six if Waddle, Pitts... The Eagles just take DeVonta Smith at six, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Did the 49ers completely botch this? I mean, we sort of knew that at the
time. Well, no, because they were worried about the Panthers, Broncos, and Lions at 7, 8, 9. And I think they wanted to get ahead of those three.
Yeah.
Who, and obviously none of those ended up taking a quarterback.
Right.
So it blew up in their face. But I think those were the three picks that are the three teams that really concerned them.
And look, Trey Lance could end up being awesome. It is. We're probably
giving away two first round picks to move up and get him for a guy who sits for 2 years is not a good deal. No matter how you, unless Trey Lance wins two Super Bowls, it just doesn't feel like a good deal, because think he's going to have to win a Super Bowl to be better than Garoppolo, because Garoppolo's been to a Super Bowl and been to two NFC title games in the past 3 years. And so it's going to be hard for Trey Lance to top that. That alone is going to bring pressure.
Yeah. And I guess the larger point is that the 49ers could have sat at 10, kept all their future first round picks, and taken potentially Trey Lance if he fell. And maybe somebody trades up with the Eagles at six. I don't think the Lions were moving. I think they like Penei Sewell.
I mean, Matthew Stafford got traded for two first round picks. What do you think the 49ers would rather have if they could have redone all of this? Would they rather have called the Lions and given up this first round picks for Matthew Stafford?
Yes. Yes. They would have won the Super Bowl.
Right. So there's trading up for a quarterback now that you know general managers are a lot more open to trading big name players. Trading up for a quarterback just doesn't make a lot of sense, because it's a lottery ticket. You have no idea how they're going to be once they get to the NFL.
I simply cannot let this. Anthony in the chat says, Brenton simply cannot let this 49ers Trey Lance alternate reality go. Which alternate reality? I mean,
Brenton, just let it go. Please.
What's the alternate reality? Brenton, like,
just let it go.
I don't know. I think that the 49ers could have sat at 10 and either had Trey Lance fall to them. And maybe that wasn't likely. Like, we'll find out how much teams really wanted. I mean, Trey Lance can be awesome. I really think he can be awesome. But it's also possible they could have sat at 10 and just, it's like Trey Lance got taken. Oh, well, we're just going to take Mac Jones at 10. And Mac Jones could operate a Kyle Shanahan offense really well.
Yeah. I mean, that's why everyone thought for a month that they were going to take Mac Jones, because he seemed like a perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense. And, ends up with Trey Lance after he trades up 9 spots.
Okay, so to answer the actual question, I don't even know the Baker Watson or Ryan thing. I don't think applies though. Like Matt Ryan, yeah, I think they'd like to have Matt Ryan. They'd be fine with Matt Ryan. Like if he and Kyle are cool, and we don't know if they are, but I'm not sure that. I'm not sure that Baker or Watson, and maybe they probably wanted Watson. They probably wanted, Watson. Look, we'll see. Lance, I still think Lance can be good.
And then also,
it is an interesting question.
You know, and it's hilarious that we got this question, because Jed York literally had a quote this week at the.
Oh yeah, it's 12, not 10. I'm an idiot because the Eagles flopped up. Thank you, Dominic.
At the annual league meeting, Jed York compared this situation to Joe Montana passing the torch to Steve Young. Woo! And it was like, he's the owner of the team. Does he remember anything about that situation? It was a disaster. Like, there were headlines every week. Joe Montana and Steve Young hated each other. And yes, they have this successful period. But that was an ugly, ugly situation. And then the 49ers had to begrudgingly trade Montana because they were ready to move on to, not even begrudgingly, they needed a way to get away from Montana so they could start Steve Young. And so it was just weird to hear
the whole thing was an abject disaster.
Yes.
And you ended up trading the greatest quarterback, like the GOAT, like Joe Montana was considered the best quarterback in NFL history.
The part where the situation is similar is that you have this pocket quarterback and you're trying to move on to this mobile quarterback, which, you know, Joe Montana, pocket quarterback, Steve Young, mobile quarterback. And so you have, maybe that dynamic's similar, but I'm not sure that's the comparison I would be making if I was Jed York.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, next question. By the way, what's the over-under for Ryan Wilson making it onto this podcast? We see 123?
Over.
I'll take the under at 123. I take the over at
1. He's usually punctual. He said 115. It's 118.
Yeah, but he's just assuming that radio interviews are 15 minutes long, and they're just not.
I have three clocks that say three different times. I don't know what's going on in my house anymore.
That totally checks out. You do these radio interviews, especially if you do them at the top of the hour. I didn't realize this the other day, but like when I do Darren Smith's show in San Diego, and I'm happy doing it. Like, I don't care how long the hit is, but we were talking about the new, like all the media deals. And do you mean stick around for a second segment? He's like, no. The first segment's 24 minutes. We're fine. I was like, oh my God, I do 20, like a 24 minute segment. Like, I didn't even realize it. Anyway, next question.
Next question.
Love the show from ABCDEF ! You love to see it. Great podcast. Love the super friends. The flow of the chat along with the dunks make it very entertaining. Mailbag question. As a Scottish Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Oh, time out. You do not read notes from Debo. Debo said we need to skip this question. So now we're going to go ahead to the question after that.
I thought Debo was telling me to get moving.
It's a Steelers related question. So that's why we're waiting. Steelers/ draft related question.
I feel so bad for people who listen to this on Monday with their stuff together. Like, what is wrong with these people?
We're dying. I'm trying to watch a World Cup draw.
I know. USA gets, I believe, Wales, Scotland, or Ukraine to open. And we also are in the same pod or pool or whatever they call it. We'll wait for the soccer talk for Wilson. That's what Wilson's doing, is watching the freaking draw. We know that. Mailbag question from Daniel Hensley. How does the salary cap actually work? And what are the penalties for being over the cap? Like, I know in the NHL, you can't be over the cap each game and have to play short if a team is over the cap, and teams use IR to get around the cap all the time. Is it something similar in the NFL or in-season trades? How does that work with cap space? If the cap hit is prorated for the new team, if someone's making $17 million, they get traded week five, does the whole $17 million transfer, or is it $12 million? So I think this is, look at that.
Wilson!
What's up, Wilson? Ryan Wilson in the house.
Shockingly, just as the World Cup draw ends, Ryan Wilson shows up.
Just watching the old World Cup draw. Actually, I was doing radio, sorry. I didn't see who U.S. got stuck with. You guys know?
Of course we know.
All right, Wilson.
Iran, England.
Wilson.
And the winner of the Wales, Scotland, Ukraine.
Oh, that's a pretty good draw. What do you got, Brunson?
Would you rather fight your children with your bare hands?
Yes.
Or fight 10 guinea pigs with a badminton racket?
10 guinea pigs with a badminton racket?
Yeah. I got my own Would You Rather book.
Are guinea pigs? Are you just making that up? Does someone ask that?
The badminton racket is actually made of a snake. So,
but guinea pigs don't attack, do they?
They have rabies. They're feral guinea pigs.
Yeah, I think I'd take on the guinea pigs. You can kick them.
You can't kick guinea pigs. What kind of world do you live in? My God.
You're talking about the same world where I'm beating the crap out of my kids?
Yeah, I mean, people.
Can you fight your kids or the guinea pigs or the badminton racket?
All right.
I don't think guinea pigs do attack.
Yeah, that's quite the question. That's like my roommate in college used to ask me. I don't know if I told you guys this. He was a philosophy major, incredibly weird, but also sort of funny. He would ask me every day, "Would you rather be rich or stupid?" That's sort of that question.
Oh, rich.
I love that you hesitated, by the way.
Yeah, Brinson, I knew you'd say rich.
I asked Breach that question at the Super Bowl, I think.
Stupid would be great, though. I would love to be stupid.
Exhibit A.
Being stupid would be awesome. Just don't have to worry about anything. like Putty in Seinfeld, right?
Ignorance is bliss.
Or what is even George is kind of stupid too. Like,
funny. You and I both are grinding through Seinfeld's at the same time.
Oh man, I ripped through like seasons 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's that one episode where George pretends to be an oceanographer. Mm-hmm. That's a good one too.
They're all great. I mean, they're
I know. Anyway,
to make more question.
Back, we're gonna back up. Oh crap! We just already read the salary cap question.
Yeah, so just finish the salary cap question.
The other one Diggle tell you not to ask.
Basically, no, we had to skip one because the Steelers related and wanted to wait for you to come. We'll do it after the break. But first, somebody asked, the question was asked, how does the salary cap work? And it was in relation to the NHL, which apparently in the NHL, according to this listener, you get penalized for penalized per game. If you're over the salary cap, like going into a game, you have to play shorthanded or something like that. The NFL salary cap works in a way that teams have to be under it by the start of the league year and then have to remain under it throughout the course of the season. We researched this from a previous question, I think, and found out that if you're over the salary cap at any point, you can be penalized with a loss of you can be
loss of draft picks.
Draft picks, they can cancel fines. Contracts, fines, all kinds of stuff. Essentially, like if hypothetically, let's say these Steelers are always cap compliant. So I'm trying to think of it. Like, let's say the Raiders were like, screw it. We're just going to be over the cap all season long. And we don't care what the NFL does to us. Well, the NFL would start canceling. They would start taking away draft picks. If the Raiders kept doing it, they'd take away better draft picks. If the Raiders kept staying over the cap, they'd be like, all right, fine. We are going to get you under the cap. Derek Carr's contract out. You just cut Derek Carr in the middle of the season. Like the NFL can basically do whatever it wants to ensure that teams stay under the salary cap. As far as how the cap works, this is why, like, if you ever try and talk to even smart sports fans about it, they will get, and like my buddy Carr, who's a smart dude, I was talking to him about like salary cap stuff. He's like, this is more complex than the IRS tax code. And he's not wrong. Like you can basically, you take these contracts, you have to fit all your contracts under the salary cap, but you can build them out in such a way that, for instance, like Deshaun Watson, $1 million against the salary cap next year, right? And that's for a different reason, but it is very easy to manipulate the money on these contracts in order to stay under the salary cap, right?
Yes.
It seems to be. And that's why you hire all these salary cap geniuses to kick the can down the road, as you like to say. And look, for 20 years, fans and media folks are saying, well, the Steelers are going to have to, it's going to come due. They're going to have to figure this out. And every year they just restructure all these contracts and keep kicking the can down the road. When Ben retired, they did have to, some of that money accelerated, I believe, and they had to pay it. But I mean, he was drafted in 2004. Same thing with the Saints. The Saints magically are under the cap by the start of the league year. And they were 30 or 40 million over when Sean Payton retired, and we talked about maybe that's the reason.
70, they were 70 over
there. So yeah, I mean, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, I mean,
and then the other part of this question: what happens if you trade a player in the middle of the season? The contract gets prorated. So let's just say because there's 18 weeks, if a player has a salary that pays him $18 million per year, and you get him in week 5, that means the first team paid the first $5 million, and the new team is on the hook for the $13 million that is left over. So you're just on the hook for the prorated contract. But then there's also a few differences. Like, let's say if Deshaun Watson got traded tomorrow, obviously Deshaun Watson is not going to get traded tomorrow, but his contract only has a $1 million base salary. So the new team would only have to pay him the $1 million base salary and then all the guaranteed money in years 2 through 5. But the Browns would still be on the hook for the $46 million signing bonus. So the new team would basically get them at 5 years, whatever 230 minus 46 is. Wilson, 184. 5 years, 184. Trade for a guy, you don't have to pay his signing bonus because the team that signed him to that contract is responsible for that.
Also worth noting, Tupi in the comments points out, and this is a good point. The NHL, which is
National Hockey League.
Oh. The National Hockey League, yes. It's what the mailbag question was asking about, like the NFL has a hard salary cap. Now he points out most other leagues have a soft cap with luxury taxes implemented on teams that go over. I wouldn't say most other leagues. The NHL and the NFL are hard caps. You cannot be over. You are penalized if you are over when the league year begins. The NBA has a soft cap. That's the luxury tax situation. If you go over the cap, how much ever you can go over as much as you want, but you have to pay additional fines to the league. So it benefits the bigger market teams or the teams with more money in that they can say, screw it, we're going way over. And they've tried to crank that up so that way it sort of evens out. Baseball has no salary cap. You can go and spend whatever you want in baseball on whoever you want. And
they tried one, didn't they?
They did add luxury tax, didn't they?
Yeah. Back when, maybe 15 years ago, I remember, because the Yankees would just pay it. Right. They didn't care.
Does baseball have a salary cap?
I don't watch baseball, but
No salary cap. Yeah,
they have a luxury tax, though, don't they?
They have a luxury tax, but they have no salary cap.
I mean, that's not the same thing, but it's kind of, you're punishing the big market teams for spending big.
Right.
Right. But the point being is that you can spend as much as you want, and there are no restrictions on your payroll. But even the big spending teams have gotten to the point where they don't want, like the Yankees don't spend like they do. In fact, the Yankees, Brian Cashman, their GM, did you hear him this week? What a loser.
No.
He's like, I've heard this talk that we haven't been, or it's like, we haven't been to the World Series since 2009. That's just not true. And it's like, well, it is true. He's like, well, in 2017, we lost to the cheating Astros. So I don't really get
that. That's funny.
It's like, dude, you can't pivot that to act like you've been to the World Series. You haven't been, even if you think the Astros cheated.
Think the Astros cheated, Brinson? They did.
Yeah. You know who the biggest cheater in the history of baseball is?
Not the Bengals.
Babe Ruth.
I thought you were going to say Pete Rose has slapped him.
Pete Rose
missed an opportunity there.
For what?
To dunk on Pete Rose.
We can dunk on Pete Rose if we want. Basically, the salary cap is you have to fit all your contracts under the salary cap. And if teams are over the salary cap going into the start, like as they head towards the new league year, what they will do is restructure contracts to give players, and players are always willing to restructure contracts because it takes future money and converts it to a signing bonus, which is then prorated, and signing bonuses are prorated across the length of the contract. And that's why you're seeing a bunch of these dummy years and these void years for these quarterbacks, because they give the quarterbacks a ton of money up front and then spread it across the contract with these fake years on the back end, because they have to have them in order to spread out the signing bonus. It's a lot of nonsense, really. It's also why you end up in these like Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill situations where dudes are talking about how, he made $28 million but he's not making $28 million a year.
With that attitude.
That's right. Anywho, let's take a break. And when we come back, Wilson will answer a Pittsburgh Steelers question from a Scottish podcast listener.
What? Yes.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Love the show. ABCDEF !!! Says, great podcast. Love the super friends and the flow of the chat along with the dunks. Makes it very entertaining.
Are the question marks there because you didn't know the next letters in the alphabet?
No, I think that's part of his name. I think it's Gaelic.
No, I'm just kidding. I know.
Mailbag
Gaelic.
Yes.
As a Scottish Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I always hear about this year's quarterback draft class being of a lower standard and that there might not be a franchise quarterback there, so teams could wait till next year. Looking at next year, is there likely to be a draft class with franchise-level quarterbacks available to make a year of suffering worth the wait for a top-level quarterback? Keep up the great work. It's an excellent question. And really caters to Ryan Wilson, who has always dreamed of being from Scotland. This caters to your draft, Steelers, Scotland. I mean, really caters to your whole thing.
Yeah. Plus, David Ajabo grew up in Scotland. So it's all coming together.
Did he really?
Yeah. That's born awesome. In Nigeria, grew up in Scotland, came to the U.S. So, yes, next year's draft class should be better. But again, these things always change. So Spencer Rattler transferred. So please, Lord Jesus, let him have a better season than he did this year. Keaton Slovis transferred. Phil Jerkovic went back to BC. There's CJ Stroud. I think will be draft eligible next year. Bryce, what's Bryce's last name for Alabama? Bryce Young will be draft eligible. I can tell you now, I know some teams are not crazy about Bryce Young for one very simple reason. He's smaller than Breach. So that's a huge concern. But he's good. So I think this is a question a lot of teams are going to have to ask themselves, starting with Brinson's Panthers at 6, Falcons at 8, the Seahawks at 9. 11 is Washington, but they appear for some reason to be all in on Carson Wentz. We'll see if that lasts through Halloween. And then, of course, the Steelers at 20. The Saints are at 18 or 19, wherever they pick. And, of course, the Lions pick early, and then they have the 32nd pick. So there are a ton of teams that they're going to have to do this math. Two or three or four of them are going to take quarterbacks in the first round anyway, because I think that's part of the reason the draft isn't in January. It gives you 3 months to talk yourself into these quarterbacks that maybe you didn't love when you first saw them. So, yeah, you could wait. The problem with waiting is a couple things. You don't know how these quarterbacks are going to turn out that are now in college and how their season's going to go. Typically, they go better than the previous year, but Spencer Rattler would certainly like a word. The other thing is you don't know where you're going to be picking. And that's the issue when you say tank it for two a couple years ago or tank it for Trevor or whatever, although the Jaguars had no intention to win any football games. But it's just sort of because the Dolphins kept winning and almost playing themselves out of the Tua sweepstakes, and they found themselves back into it. So I think it's hard to wait for a couple reasons. If you like one of these quarterbacks now, I think you take him. I mean, the Steelers could end up taking Matt Corral or Malik Willis if he falls or Kenny Pickett. And I'm not convinced they would be the best quarterback on the roster, but that's the whole point of upside. So I think you just have to do the math. I think Trevor Lawrence was clearly the best quarterback on the roster when he was drafted last year. Same with Joe Burrow. Was Mac Jones the best quarterback on the roster with Cam Newton? We didn't know. And they had to wait till the end of training camp to cut him. So I think that's the math you got to figure out.
By the way, I don't think that this is the case with this draft class, but I do think it's worth pointing out that in 2017, people were saying this is not a very good quarterback draft class. That's how Mitchell Trubisky ended up going second overall ahead of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Like, the idea that Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, obviously Watson off-field stuff aside, fell as far as they did in the draft is absolutely insane. And that was a really good draft class. You know, the Bengals, of course, landed future franchise wide receiver John Ross. Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley went. You're lucky you got Burrow, because that Mahomes thing was going to linger.
Hey, guess what? Guess who was in the Super Bowl last year? Not Patrick Mahomes.
Guess who lost in the Super Bowl?
Dunked on you.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes won just as many Super Bowls as Joe Burrow last year, right,
too. My point being is that, like, we were saying going into, but the difference was there were a lot of good skill guys in that draft class. Like, people, there are a lot of guys that people like. Like, what was it, Myles Garrett won, or a lot of star talent in that draft class, we felt like.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's just like the Justin Jefferson thing. He was a fifth wide receiver drafted. Like, we don't know.
All right, went after Jalen Reagor, which is crazy. I mean, who
took Jalen Reagor?
I don't know. I think was it the Eagles? It was whoever had J.J. Arcega-Whiteside on their team. I'm loose.
Debo's so done with this. Yes, I got Wilson shows up late. Just make fun of the Eagles.
I'm out. That's it. Enough.
But no, I think that's a good point, that we don't know. Kenny Pickett could end up being Joe Burrow 2.0. He could end up being Who's a bad version of a first round pick? Daniel Jones. So you just don't know.
Sam Darnold.
Ouch. Ouch. Boom. Again, Sam Darnold, top five pick. Terrible.
You may feel the same Darnold went ahead of Josh Allen. And I think we were all fine with it. And in hindsight, it's absolutely idiotic. But it also matters where you go, of course.
I wonder if Baker had gone to Buffalo. He wouldn't have been anywhere close to Josh Allen, but I wonder if he'd be better than he is now. Although his situation in Cleveland wasn't terrible.
Cleveland, pretty good situation. If you
redraft that draft, Josh Allen's going number one overall.
Okay. So what are you saying?
I'm saying that maybe I don't think would have necessarily been great anyway. Like, I don't think he would have been better in Buffalo. I don't think
he would have been better in Buffalo.
Yeah, he'd have been a little better in Buffalo. I think there's more coaching stability. Brian Daboll maybe is better at his job than Kevin Stefanski in terms of calling plays. I don't know.
That's the 2018 draft is interesting too. What so Allen goes one for sure. Lamar two. Has to be Lamar too. You're taking the athletic freak former MVP quarterback second overall.
Yeah, I just got to pull it up.
You think the New York Giants aren't if he had ended up with the Giants who had the number two pick, you don't think
they'd
waste his talent?
I'm not saying they wouldn't waste him. I'm just saying the Giants.
Well, Gettleman loves running back, so that'd have been perfect.
Dave Gettleman does not like mobile quarterbacks. That's like, if Dave Gettleman's not there, if Dave Gettleman's there, they probably don't draft.
But yeah, I mean, Lamar.
Even with hindsight. Lamar's two. I think. And I'm trying to.
The Jets are still taking Sam Darnold.
I think Quentin Nelson is three, right?
Probably. Maybe Darius Leonard.
Ooh. Nah, I think it's Quentin Nelson.
That's close, though. That's
a good call. And I always thought that because the Colts, both of them. I mean, that's a great draft by the Colts.
So who is going four? Trying to bring up approximate.
Maybe value. Darius Leonard. Those two are going.
Darius Leonard could go four. Derwin James could go four too. He's been
Derwin James. Yeah, he fell for no reason.
What about Christian Kirk?
Well, you got J.R. Alexander. I'm just trying to find some names that are really
Fred Warner would be up there. Orlando Brown, Roquan Smith.
You have Calvin Ridley.
That's good.
Nick Chubb.
I mean, Nick Chubb.
I was going to say, where's Saquon Barkley on the totem pole of running backs from that draft now? He's not going top three running backs taken, right?
I'm taking Nick Chubb first. Who's the other running back that you're thinking about?
I don't know. Maybe that class wasn't as good as I was thinking.
Hey, where do you think a team would gamble on Calvin Ridley?
I actually was trying to do the math. I was like, let's see. Vita Vea would go. He went 12.
Be up there. Mark Andrews.
Yep.
DJ Moore, Minka Fitzpatrick.
But I mean, there's just so many guys in the first round where you, in retrospect, like Rashawn Evans right now, he was drafted by the Titans, he's not going to be re-signed. He's taking business to other places. You just don't know.
Yep.
It's true.
And that
goes back to our first question where you should trade your draft picks for established veterans and not to move up in the draft.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is a question I got when I was doing radio. Does it make more sense to do the less need Sean McVay model where you just don't take a draft pick seriously and just get proven players and, try to get everyone together for like one real run? Or does it make sense to continue to build through the draft like a lot of successful teams have done for decades?
I think do what makes sense, Ryan. You do what is the best for you.
That's a great question. Thank you.
Well, because the Super Bowl, the Bengals built through the draft and they got to the Super Bowl. The Rams went with F those pick strategy and they got to the Super Bowl. So like it can work both ways, but it just depends. If you're Jacksonville, trading for two superstars isn't going to turn your team around. So you've got to figure something else out.
Well, they also traded Jalen Ramsey to the Rams for two first round picks and they still suck.
Right. So I'm saying for some teams, it might not matter. It just depends where your team is and how close you are to a Super Bowl.
What were you about to choke on, Brinson?
Preach said, you need to do what makes sense.
That's what you say right before you murder someone.
Hey, what do you think about this complex, long-term approach to how you handle this, this, and this? Well, you just need to do what makes sense.
Would you rather slap your kids or would you rather attack some guinea pigs? Yeah, just do what makes sense,
Wilson.
Do what makes sense.
Well, maybe you have some guinea pigs in your yard have been pooping everywhere.
You have guinea pigs in your yard? Pigs.
Maybe your kids are pooping in the yard and boom, you get in a fight with the kids. It just do what makes sense.
Wow. We have apparently a Bengals super fan just stormed into the chat.
All right. We love the Bengals.
Matthew Wiley, who is a noted oceanographer, says that the Bengals will win the super match. You can toss that up on the screen, Debo, if you want.
What's a super match?
I would assume Super Bowl rematch.
Wiley's messing around. He's a Wiley is a DFS golf PGA DFS showdown savant, and he is he is a big super match fan.
He's the person responsible for Brinson's $80,000.
Also, he might be a Bengals fan. He hates the Chiefs. I know that. Anywho, let's move on to. Did we answer the question correctly? I don't know that we've answered any of the questions.
I answered the Steelers question.
Yeah, we got it. We answered them all. To the best of our ability. We said what made sense.
Yeah, we did as best we could. Okay, we mentioned that we covered the salary cap kind of, I guess.
That's like asking us to solve a physics problem.
It's just like the NFL salary cap is just...
temper your expectations.
It's just really hard to say how does it work and then explain it on a... like in a 10-minute mailbag answer. I mean, it's like there are literally books written about it. Like the guys who run overthecap.com, I have the book somewhere.
You don't have that book. Stop.
I will tell you how it works, Brinson.
Obviously, I haven't read it, but
salary cap for 2022 is $208.2 million and teams can't go over it. Boom. That's it. That's how
Molly P had asked, has that ever happened in the NFL stepping in if a team is over the cap? I don't know.
I don't think a team's ever gone over the cap.
Not during the season, no.
But I think during the not in the off season, I feel like there's probably a little more leeway there.
Well, you don't have to. You can be $70 million over the cap in the off season.
Well, no, only from January until March. Right. Once your season ends till mid March, till free agency starts.
Right. You can't be.
You can't be $70 million over today.
Right, but yes.
Gotcha there.
No.
Even though Breach says you should do what makes you feel good, you can't do that.
No, that is the technical offseason is over when the league year begins.
That's not true.
I think it is.
What do you call it?
By the way, there's only been a salary cap since 1994, so this isn't something that has existed throughout NFL history.
I'm trying to... I don't...
You're looking for
I've Googled it. I don't see anything where it says that the salary cap is like, I don't recall. As long as I've been covering the NFL, there has not been a team that has been punished by the league for being over the salary cap.
Yeah. The punishments are pretty severe.
So you guys know what the salary cap was in 1994, which was the first year of the salary cap.
$35 million.
I was going to guess 45.
Wilson almost hit the nail on the head. My 34? God. 34.6.
Dang, round up.
I mean, round up and throw the guy a bone.
I know. Dang, Breach. Do what makes you feel good.
Price is Right rules. You go over, you're out. You lost. You're lucky I even complimented you. If you would have used common sense to make your guess, you would have gotten it right.
I didn't do it.
Common sense to get your guess.
Here's one more salary cap trivia question. What year do you think was the first time ever that the salary cap hit $100 million?
I bet it took a while.
It's at 208.2 this year.
I'm going to guess.
I will say 2003.
I'm going to say 06. Brinson might be closer.
Is Wilson cheating? What's going on here? It is literally 2006.
Man.
It was $85.5 million in 2005, and it shot up to $102 in 2006.
Yeah, I thought it might have taken a while to get there.
Who knew that Wilson's specialty was salary capture view?
I told you that I have a weird ability to like stuff like that, and also to, like, to guess the driving times between cities, which is also a really handy, stupid thing that I can do occasionally.
Wilson, this is the thing you'll know. Who's the producer on HQ at 2 p.m. today?
I don't know, because I was actually wondering about that based on something I saw that wasn't the same thing you saw.
No. Okay. By the way, shout out to Jalen LeGrant, who apparently is Cat Hasselback, but he said C-A-T in the comments and K-A-T in the chat.
Oh, I was
there's this really weird thing happening with this golf tournament. Abraham Antor pulled out. It's the Valero Open. Abraham Antor pulled out at the the last minute, the night before the tournament. And he was replaced by this guy Gutchelski, who I literally have never heard of. And the winner of this tournament gets into the Masters, I think, regardless of what your status is. But Gutchelski is out here playing with a yellow golf ball. I've never seen that in all my years of watching golf. I've never seen a professional PGA player firing off with a yellow golf ball. That is some outrageous stuff.
You know, what's crazy is that when our audio listeners hear this on Monday, they're going to be thinking about why you're talking about something that happened on Friday.
I know, exactly. All right.
Well, unfortunately, that's the reality of the way that Debo's hoisted this YouTube thing on us.
All right. I got a would you rather before we go.
Okay.
I got a bunch of good ones, but I don't have to pick.
Would you rather win the Super Bowl
or be breached?
That's easy.
Wait. We got one more question.
Oh, okay. I thought we were done with questions.
Noted oceanographer Matthew Wiley has an actual question. Serious question. Rate the Bengals' new offensive line. So on a scale of, I was going to do like an ocean.
Who's the right tackle breach?
Lael Collins.
Oh, right. Forgot about him. So they got him.
That's an upgrade.
They got Kappa. They got Jonah Williams at left tackle. Who's the other signing they had in the offseason?
Kappa will be right guard and Ted Karras from the Patriots.
Ted Karras. Center?
Center, yeah.
Who's the left guard?
Up in the air, probably Jackson Carmen. He was second-round pick, obviously. I think they'll give him the best chance to win that. It's not a lock, but I think Jackson Carmen will likely end up starting. He's probably the weak – he's not probably. He is the weak link right now. So he's from having three or four weak links to having
– a half a weak link.
Right.
Yeah, he played left tackle at Clemson. And he has a chance to be good. So I'm going to say it's a top, like, six or seven unit in the AFC. Not knowing all the offensive line by heart, but
I would say top 12 in the NFL, but which is a huge jump from 29th or 30th.
Top 12 in the
NFL? I'll say top 15, top half.
Top 10. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate it?
7.5.
Wow, that's extremely high.
They upgraded at three spots.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were
Joe Burrow was sacked the most times in NFL history.
You understand that things have happened between then and free agency, right?
Yeah, but like the Bengals were a one.
Now they're a 6.5 or 7.5
because they added Ted Karras and Alex Kappa?
Because they upgraded three positions.
And Lyle Collins.
Yeah, Lyle Collins is sort of the big one.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I would prefer them stay a one, but they didn't. I'm just keeping it real.
Thanks, Wilson. That's coming from a Steelers fan, Brinson.
Yeah.
What number would you give them, a 4?
I'd give them a 2.
I'd give them 5.5. I think they're probably going to be in
garbage. Whatever.
That's Brinson grading them on a reverse curve.
I'm not grading on a reverse curve. You just shot it. You're like, this is a top 5 offensive line in the NFL all of a sudden. Like,
no one said that. Mr. Wilson, classic Brinson reverse curve. I can't believe he's doing this.
Classic Brinson.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. I will say that what would be interesting is if they could bring in – so they have – I guess Frank Pollock's their OL coach. I wish they could bring in Brian Callahan's dad. You bring in Bill Callahan, I'll make this a 7.5 out of 10. But Frank Pollock, okay. Whatever. Anyway, let's do
And real quick, Dominic mentioned Washington and Dallas as two teams that got punished for going over the cap. The exact situation there
was no salary cap because
there was no salary cap to go.
That was an insane year.
Well, so 2010 was the uncapped year. So teams, that's because the collective bargaining agreement wasn't in place. There ended up being, was it a lockout?
Yes. No, so
2011 offseason.
What had happened was the lockout, the new CBA was done in 2011, but the old CBA that had been done created a situation where if the owners voided the CBA, there was an uncapped year in 2010. And it was, this is why I started at CBS. It was absolute chaos because there's no salary cap, but the owners were actively colluding. And this is not like me accusing the owners of anything. They were actively colluding to not spend money. But Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder were like, screw it. We're spending anyway. And they went nuts, spent all this money.
Well, what they did, though, is that they front loaded everyone's contract to hit in 2010 because there was no salary cap. So like an example here is Miles Austin signed a 6-year, $54 million deal. Well, his base salary that year was $17 million. And at that time, there was not a receiver who had a base salary over $10 million. So we're talking about Miles Austin being the highest paid receiver in 2010 because the Cowboys front loaded his contract. So the Cowboys and Washington were both front loading all these contracts. And the NFL was like, yeah, uncapped. You still got to play by the rules. So they ended up getting punished both.
This contract doesn't even sound that big now, but at the time, by the way, RIP John Clayton, like a legit legend in the business. I'm reading a March 5th, 2010 article from John Clayton. Julius Peppers and the Bears agreed to a 6-year deal to bring Peppers, who's a free agent who had played on a franchise tag, to Chicago. Contract is worth $91.5 million with $42 million guaranteed. At the time, that was a ton of money. Right?
Yeah.
We got $15.3 million to be a start, like defensive end for the Bears. Okay, cool. Let's.
Wilson fell asleep.
No, I'm looking. I'm trying to find the best one. You ready?
Yeah.
Gosh, these are tough. All right, All right, here we go. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to do this one. Never mind. While running through the woods from an enraged wild boar, who are pretty fast, and they're actually pretty mean, I think.
This question's a boar. I got you.
While running through the woods from an enraged wild boar, you sprained your ankle severely, or you accidentally step in an old metal bucket and you can't get it off as you continue to run.
Wait, I'll start that over.
While running through the woods from an enraged wild boar, sprained your ankle severely, or you accidentally step into an old metal bucket and not be able to shake it off as you run.
I'm going with the metal bucket because at least I'm not injured and I can still run. But if it impedes my running ability and I somehow fall down, then I'll just kick the boar.
There you go.
While the bucket's on my foot.
I think that's the right answer.
I'm going to be a bucket foot.
Yeah.
The bucket is easily the right answer. First of all,
I don't know if the bucket ever comes off though. Maybe it never comes off.
Well, that's a different question entirely. Are you stuck with the bucket for the rest of your life? Then yeah, you're taking the sprained ankle, assuming.
Oh, that's a good point, Brinson.
Yeah, we're assuming that you survive the boar attack. I think the fact that you get the bucket on your foot as a boar is attacking you. I mean, you got to go full ninja and just start kicking the boar with the bucket. Like you get two good shots of that bucket, and that boar's out of there. Have you ever sprained your ankle?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a high level athlete. Of course I have.
Yeah, right. You're the lowest level athlete on the planet.
Here we go.
Old man twice his ACL.
Twice.
As EFC 1979 in the chat points out, you get a bucket all the way. It doubles as a metal foot. Yeah. Like, hey, would you like to have a sprained ankle that inhibits your running ability? Or would you rather have a weapon attached to your foot that allows you to attack the boar back? You don't.
Or is this a saw situation where you can saw off your sprained ankle and beat the boar with that? Possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I did read the fine print. I don't think the bucket remains on your foot forever. So that's clearly.
But we don't know that.
We don't know that.
That's a key. If the bucket's on my foot forever, I think I'm going with the sprained ankle.
Yeah, but then you might get attacked severely.
Is there any trees? Can I climb trees in this scenario?
Can you climb trees in real life?
I was thinking about a tree situation. Because, I think if you get the bucket on your foot, you're definitely taking something back of the boar with your foot. But if you get a sprained ankle, you're, looking for a tree and, limping up the tree to try and escape the boar.
So, Wilson, right? What would you do?
No, I think the bucket one makes the most sense. I'm trying to find it to see if there was no small print about it remaining on your foot forever, so.
Yeah, you're not stuck with a metal bucket.
No.
You know, so speaking of buckets that are attached to your body.
Oh, God.
I think it's Primus. Primus the band that has Buckethead as a, he played guitar with a bucket on his head.
Oh, all right. I got one more quickly because that one was good. Okay. This is a good one. Pee in your pants at your wedding in front of everyone or not be able to stop laughing at your grandmother's funeral. So yeah, and Brinson had a big wedding because Brinson's not going to have a big wedding. So there's 500 people there.
And he's a huge wedding.
The good news for you is you wore a white tux, so no one will see the pee. But let's assume you're wearing gray.
You're wearing gray, so
I don't like darker.
Yeah, so it's clearly visible that you pee, and then you can see it running down the steps of the altar. So that, or you just laugh for 30 straight minutes at your grandmother's funeral.
You know, I'm going to go with pee in the pants at the wedding, because I think that most people, you could just say you spilled a drink on yourself. There's out here.
There's no drink at the altar.
Altar? Oh, no, I could just say I had a mini bottle in my pocket.
What is this worse? Is that better? At least if you're laughing at your grandmother's funeral, you can at least, if somebody's like, what do you like, what the hell are you laughing about?
You're,
like,
you're laughing hysterically.
I'm remembering the great times we had together.
For 15 straight minutes, you're laughing hysterically. What were you and your grandmother doing?
If you're laughing.
And what if your grandpa is trying to give the eulogy and talk about how your grandma died because she was shot four times? And you're sitting there laughing at it.
Just rolling on the floor laughing at it.
You can parlay a hysterical laugh into sounding like crying. It can be like a laugh cry.
I don't know, man.
You can't parlay a puddle of pee at the front of the church in front of 500 people. And Breach is like, oh, I have a mini bottle. It's like, well, yeah. It smells like
it was raining at my wedding, so having wet pants would have been par for the course.
You were under a tent. We were there, dum dum.
Yeah, we were not under a tent.
Debo, what would you do, Debo?
I'm going sprained ankle and pee.
We just need to. Somebody needs to cut that. Yeah, just that tape with no context.
That's the Pick Six podcast, folks. I'm going sprained ankle and pee. Really, you're not going bucket, Diva? Why? I want to hear the rationale behind that.
I feel like it's not a broken ankle. I know sprained ankles suck, but I feel like I'm still able to move quicker. Like if I'm in a, I'll call it life or death situation on a sprained ankle versus a metal bucket.
That's a good point, Debo.
You're definitely moving faster on the sprained ankle than the bucket, but the bucket gives you some sort of
I'm quick enough. I'm getting out of that situation
without a bucket on your foot.
Right.
Debo fancies himself a high level athlete.
I love that Brinson's going to just laugh at his grandma's wedding for 15 straight minutes while his grandfather's explaining why the poor woman got shot up.
Unbelievable.
That is pretty terrible. All right.
I'm not having a puddle of pee at my feet.
I will say this. My buddy cried at his wedding, which was 20 years ago, and we still make fun of him about it now. So imagine if he peed in his pants.
If you pissed your pants at your wedding, you are getting ruthlessly destroyed for that for the rest of your life.
Also happening, your wife probably will not marry you. So there's also that.
Yeah. You're not getting married. And Breach is like, no, babe, it's just a
two airplane bottles of
pee tequila in my pants.
Yeah. It's like, I was so nervous because I love you so much that I had a mini bottle full of piss and tequila in my pocket.
Why does it smell like pee, John?
Also, like, how does a mini bottle open up in your pocket? Like, was it an open mini bottle?
You were sipping it and you forgot to put the lid back on. We've all been in these situations.
He's the worst liar in the world.
I know. It's like, it's such a bad lie that it's like, well, I mean, there's no way he could be making that up. Like,
right. Fantastic. All right. Well, there you go.
All right. That is it for the show. I feel so bad for people who listen to this on Mondays. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Hit that like button, subscribe, rate, and review. For Breach, for Wilson, I'm Brent.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.